You are Locked On Orioles, your daily Baltimore Orioles podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey there, everybody. You made it to Friday, and welcome back into the Locked On Orioles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. As always, I am your host, Connor Newcomb. Of course, we have things to talk about today. We're going to get to all those things, including MLB free agent news from the last couple of days, some pieces of Orioles news as well, and an interview talking about Jose Iglesias and his fit with the Angels coming up after the break. But first, news from just about a half hour ago as I record this late on Friday morning, as we learn of the passing of Hall of Famer and one of baseball's greats in Hammer and Hank Aaron, who died this morning at age 86. And of course, our thoughts go out to Hank's family, one of the best players that ever took the field in a Major League Baseball uniform. Of course, he was just an incredible player in his career all the way from 1954 through 1976. I mean, you look back, he played until he was 42 years old in 76. He was an all-star at age 41 in 1975. He made the all-star team in 21 of his 23 years and, of course, got that one MVP award in 1957, although you can argue he earned many, many more MVP awards during his career, finishing with the 755 home runs, second all-time to Barry Bonds. But Hank Aaron, who, you know, did all that in his career, did get himself a World Series ring, and had to battle through not just that, but being a black ball player in the 1950s, 1960s, and beyond, starting his career in the Negro Leagues before coming to Major League Baseball, and the racism that he had to deal with as well. You just think about what he had to go through, and to still have that on his mind and be, you know, probably the best player in baseball for most of the time that he was in the league was just an incredible feat for Aaron. He will be missed, and again, just one of the great people and players in the game's history, and just continues, it feels like, a stretch over the past year of Hall of Famers in baseball passing away, and Hank Aaron at age 86 today, he will be missed, and again, will always be remembered, obviously, in the Hall, and as one of the greatest players of all time, one of the greatest hitters that has ever played the game. But we will continue to celebrate Hank Aaron's life here on the Locked On Podcast Network on the MLB channels. Check out Locked On MLB today with Paul Francis Sullivan. Check out Locked On Braves as well here on the channel. We'll get a lot of good stuff about Hank Aaron's life as we remember him on the channel. But we shift now to news around Major League Baseball, and a lot of news from free agency from the last couple of days, and just kind of a roundup of what has gone on over the last 2 days since we last talked to you on Wednesday. Right after we finished recording on Wednesday, this string of moves kind of started. You had Jay Happ signing with the Twins. He had been, of course, with the Yankees last couple of years, but you know he's been around the block. He's been with the Phillies, Astros, Blue Jays, Mariners, Pirates, and Yankees. He signs a one-year, $8 million deal to become a part of that Twins rotation. You know, he'll probably slot in right around their number three or four starter for a good Minnesota team with a great offense. Jay Happ, probably a really good fit for Minnesota as he leaves the AL East, where he's been, it seems like, for a while now with the Blue Jays and the Yankees. Moving on from Happ, you continue to look around the league. Remember, when we talked with you on Wednesday, it was, you know, a little bit assumed that the Blue Jays, after, you know, signing George Springer and Kirby Yates, were also going to get Michael Brantley, but that flipped as well. And Michael Brantley is actually going back to the Astros as he re-signed with Houston for a two-year, $32 million deal. Brantley, who is, you know, just 33 years old. I think a lot of people think he's a lot older than he really is. He's, you know, still pretty close to the prime of his career, and he has still been fantastic over the last few seasons and very much earned that $32 million. So he'll be back in the Astro lineup. Big for Houston to at least retain one of those big free agents and get Brantley back. Speaking of returning to a team, catcher Jason Castro has signed a 2-year deal to go to the Astros, as Houston has been busy this week. Of course, Castro started his career in the big leagues with Houston. He had been with the Angels the past couple of years, but he gets a 2-year, $7 million deal to go to Houston. We'll see, you know, where he fits in. I don't think he'll be a straight backup catcher. I don't think he'll be a straight-up starting catcher. He'll be in somewhat of a platoon, probably, for the Astros behind the dish. Speaking of catchers, rumors that the Atlanta Braves are in on the JT Realmuto market. That could be definitely something to watch in the coming days. The Nationals made a minor league deal with Hernan Perez, the utility man who has had his best years with the Brewers at the major league level. He will try to make the Nats out of spring training. You go to a former Blue Jay who is on the move. Anthony Bass, who was actually a pretty big part of the Toronto Blue Jay bullpen last season, kind of not came out of nowhere, but surprised a lot of people. He has signed with the Marlins. It is a 2-year deal for Bass in Miami that includes a club option for the 2023 season as well, and a good kind of affordable piece for that Miami bullpen. But the Blue Jays made another deal official, bringing in another pitcher. Tyler Chatwood has officially agreed to his deal with Toronto for a 1-year, $3 million deal to maybe help out their rotation as well. So that's kind of where the moves went over the last couple of days. But there was also one move of a former Oriole that came in yesterday, as Asher Wojciechowski, who was DFA'd by the Orioles this year and elected free agency, he has found a new home. The 32-year-old right-hander has signed a minor league deal with the New York Yankees, as Asher is going to be in spring training with the Yankees, and he'll get a shot to make that roster out of spring training. Of course, he has been with the Orioles in 2019 and 2020 after the Orioles picked him up off of waivers in July of 2019 from Cleveland. He, of course, came to Baltimore. 2019, he made 16 starts through 82 and a third innings and had a 4.92 ERA. He was pretty solid, and he, of course, had some really good starts. You remember his best one, the 7 1/3 scoreless innings with 10 strikeouts he had against the Red Sox in one of his first starts as an Oriole. And he had some pretty good numbers with the O's in 2019. Can't say the same, though, for 2020. He made 10 appearances, 7 starts for the O's in 2020. And in 37 innings, he had a 6.81 ERA. He walked 15 batters, struck out 31, and allowed 45 hits in 37 innings in 2020. And the stuff still looked pretty good, but he was leaving a lot of stuff over the plate. It just was not the same. The O's tried to move him to the bullpen in 2020, and that honestly went even worse than him starting, and he was DFA'd. So, you know, he gave a nice year and a half with the Orioles, and we'll see if he can catch on with the Yankees and get himself back into the major leagues in the AL East. So just something to look out for. And Wojciechowski is a guy, you know, I always thought his curveball, his slider, his breaking pitches were much better than that fastball and the changeup that he uses. And, you know, I think to best maximize him, you know, we've seen some pitchers in the big leagues, you know, guys like Charlie Morton, but especially guys like Lance McCullers and Colin McHugh, a lot of guys in that Astros group and guys from the Rays as well, where, you know, they see they have a good breaking ball and it just becomes their pitch. You know, you think of Ryan Pressly for a reliever as well, basically only throws his curveball at this point. Asher always seemed like a guy who would maybe benefit from that, and I had always kind of talked about that during this season to try and change it up for him. We'll see if the Yankees try and get Wojciechowski to do that and see if he can improve in a Yankee uniform. But he will go to New York and on a minor league deal. And then the final piece of Orioles news for the day has to do with the Orioles broadcast team. Of course, we know all the changes that the Orioles made last year, and we didn't see the usuals really calling the games. You know, Gary Thorne and Jim Hunter really were not there for the Orioles. And now Jim Hunter himself has tweeted out today, tweeting, quote, "I was informed this week by the Orioles my contract will not be renewed for 2021, ending my career with the ball club. It's disappointing to have my tenure come to an end, especially since it was not my decision. For 24 years, I gave my heart and soul to the broadcast, and now it's over. And then he thanked everyone he worked with and said it was an honor to bring Orioles baseball to you. Good luck to the team moving ahead. And Jim Hunter is out officially. And again, we didn't see him broadcast games on Masson last year, and really wasn't a part much of the broadcast team in 2020. And it kind of felt like this was coming. And Jim Hunter, who joined the team all the way back in 1997, of course, he's called many big Orioles moments during that season. He called, the AL East clinchmas back in September of 2014, countless big games as well. Of course, was a big part of the Orioles radio network as well. Didn't just do Masson games, did a lot of games on the radio as well. And, he was a big part of the Orioles family, and he will be missed. And now we kind of see, does this mean more changes coming? Obviously, the Orioles did not have Gary Thorne do any games in 2020. We know he works on one-year contracts. Could this mean the end for Gary Thorne as well? But something we'll definitely keep an eye on. But it does kind of stink that this is how it ended for Jim Hunter. Obviously, I don't think he was as good as Gary Thorne, but he was still a great voice of the Orioles for many, many years. And a lot of people like Jim, resident of Fallston, Maryland, where I'm from as well. And, it's sad to see Hunter and his contract not renewed, as he is not going to come back to the Orioles. But speaking of guys who, the Orioles are moving on from, they're moving on from broadcasters, it seems like, and players as well. We know earlier in this offseason, the Orioles, after picking up the option for Jose Iglesias for that second year, after his great 2020, we thought, great, put him back at shortstop in 2021. But the Orioles, who we thought, maybe they'll find a trade partner at the deadline in 2021, they found a trade partner in the offseason, and they shipped Jose Iglesias over to the Angels. They received a couple of minor league pitchers in return in the deal. But we, gave you the Orioles side of the deal and talked about those prospects that the Orioles got. But we wanted to get the Angels' view of the deal as well. Talk about, how Angels fans feel Jose Iglesias will fit in and if they felt they gave up too little or too much in the return to the Orioles. So Brent McGuire is going to join us. He is the host of Locked On Angels here on the Locked On Podcast Network. And we're going to talk about the fit of Jose Iglesias in Anaheim, his thoughts about what the Orioles got back, and Iglesias' future and the Angels' future as a whole. So that's coming up next with Brent McGuire of Locked On Angels. We'll get back to the baseball in just a second, but of course, NFL season is winding down here, but we got the NFC and AFC championship games this weekend. And we know they're fun to watch, but also fun to maybe place a wager on as well. And there's only one place that has you covered and one place we trust. That's betonline.ag. Sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag and use the promo code LOCKEDON for a 50% welcome bonus. Now, looking at those two championship games, of course, got the Buccaneers at the Packers at 3 o'clock in the NFC game. But in the AFC game at 6:40 on Sunday, the Bills at the Chiefs. It's kind of interesting because we don't know if Patrick Mahomes will be in a quarterback for Kansas City or not. But the betonline.ag line right now is Chiefs minus 3 for that game. Maybe you're interested in that in the Bills if Mahomes is not good to go. But don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. Don't forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit at betonline.ag, your online sportsbook experts. And today's episode of the Locked On Orioles podcast is also brought to you by rockauto.com. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now impossible to stock all the parts you need in a traditional chain storefront. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning and wait while the counterman orders the parts on his computer, choosing only the brand his warehouse happens to carry? You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts, to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. And the best part is, rockauto.com prices are always reliably low, and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. So go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. And write Locked On Orioles in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we here at Locked On Orioles sent you over there. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. So we welcome in Brent McGuire to the podcast. He is the host of Locked On Angels here on the Locked On Podcast Network. And first of all, Brent, thank you so much for taking some time here on a Friday morning.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for having me.
And so we bring you on to kind of get the flip side of the reaction to the deal that sent Jose Iglesias over to the Angels earlier in the offseason. Of course, he had a fantastic, although shortened, 2020 season with the Orioles. And the Orioles picked up his team option for 2021. And many over here thought, all right, he's slotted in to play shortstop next season, and maybe the O's would trade him at the deadline. But a trade suitor came earlier, and he was sent over to the Angels for two pitching prospects in Garrett Stallings and Gene Pinto. So first of all, I guess the first question from the Angels side is, I guess this pretty much seals that the Angels were not looking to bring back Andrelton Simmons, and instead they were looking elsewhere to fill that shortstop position.
Yeah, the whole Andrelton Simmons era came to a very awkward end. It's really funny because Simmons was, without a doubt, one of the better players like in the sport from 2017 to 2018. And I think there was kind of this foregone conclusion that the Angels were going to extend him at some point. And then a bunch of weird circumstances kept coming up. He had two really fluky injuries in 2019. The offense fell back. And then 2020 obviously was a shorter season. And he had another injury. The offense went down. And then the end of the season, five games to go, the Angels are technically still in it. And Simmons basically says he's out for the year. So it was kind of expected that Simmons wasn't going to come back, but it was definitely not the ending of that era that I was expecting.
Yeah, it was definitely odd because he's still, you know, I would say maybe the best defensive shortstop in baseball, but the offense has definitely fluctuated for him at times in his career. And seems to be on the downturn. But you turn to Jose Iglesias, who is another, you know, top flight defensive shortstop, whose offense kind of came out of nowhere in 2020. So from an Angels perspective, you know, what is the outlook on Iglesias? Does it sit more on the side of, wow, you know, can he build on this offense and become a good, you know, two-way shortstop? Or is it, I don't know if that was maybe a flash in the pan for a 60-game season?
Yeah, I definitely think it's the latter. I don't want to totally discount what he did last year, but just looking at an inflated batting average or over such a small sample, I don't want to make too much of it. But I will say, I don't know if there's much of a meaningful difference between Iglesias right now and what Simmons did over the last 2 years. So maybe the ceiling is not quite as high, but the Angels didn't really get that ceiling from Simmons over the last couple of years. So I think Iglesias slots in quite fine for, you know, this season. He's not the guy I was expecting the Angels to get. I kind of had my eyes on some bigger targets, but I think it's fine considering how cheap he was and the production he's going to bring. I think it's a totally fine and justifiable acquisition.
Yeah, and at times, you know, he was the best hitter in the Orioles lineup in 2020. That will obviously not be any kind of pressure like that on him in the Angels lineup, as he probably sees himself, instead of hitting second and third, which he did with the Orioles, probably hitting seventh, eighth, or ninth, and looking above him and seeing the likes of Rendon, Trout, Otani, you know, Fletcher, maybe Pujols as well. So, you know, does that at least, you know, probably takes pressure off him to, you know, not feel like he has to hit 373 again like he did this year?
Exactly. Like, I don't think the expectation is he's going to hit anywhere near that again, but he doesn't really have to. Even if he's at his, like, career norms, if he's, like, 10 to 15% below league average as a hitter, that defense is so good that it's not really going to matter all that much. And again, the bar was not that high considering where Simmons was at the last couple of years. So I think he fits in quite fine sitting at the bottom of the order for the Angels and just providing really good defense at a position that the Angels needed to fill.
Yeah. Kind of looking at the Angels roster and the other infielders, you know, obviously they brought in Franklin Barreto, and we know Fletcher will be there, and Rendon will be there. Is it a foregone conclusion that Iglesias is the everyday shortstop for 2021, or could there be some competition?
I would assume that he's playing there every day. And I think the cool thing about Iglesias is he's shown some pretty good durability over his career. I think that's the one thing that the Angels might have really liked about him. So I would be shocked if he's not kind of their everyday shortstop option, but that's obviously kind of concluding that they're going to be in it the whole year. Because if things go the way they have for the last 5 years for the Angels, then there's a good chance that Iglesias, who's a free agent at the end of the year, is going to be traded in July.
Yeah, and that's kind of where my next question goes. You know, you haven't seen him play at all in an Angel uniform yet, obviously, but you trade for a player who just has 1 year on the contract. So the thoughts already become, you know, could this be a guy who, although he's, you know, moving into the later stage of his career, he's still only 31 years old and still has some good baseball ahead of him. You know, from the Angels side, is there thoughts of, okay, if this goes well, you know, this could be a potential to re-sign him? Or are there, you know, guys coming up behind him or thoughts of other free agents where it's maybe just a 1 year placeholder?
Yeah. So I guess I'll touch on the first scenario. The first scenario is they bring him back beyond 2021 because they do not have any meaningful shortstop prospects in the upper minors. Like there's nothing. So there is the need for it. On the flip side, you could look forward to next offseason when Francisco Lindor, Corey Seager, all these guys are becoming free agents, and the Angels are actually going to have some sort of payroll flexibility. The Albert Pujols contract is finally up after next year. They only have three guys who are guaranteed contracts beyond this season after or next season. And I think there's a scenario where the Angels decide to go big in the shortstop class, but the rest of the roster still needs a lot of help. So I don't know. I think Iglesias kind of makes sense beyond this year, but it really comes down to how he performs this year, and then they can kind of go from there.
And I did want to ask about kind of the trade itself, because, you know, for Orioles fans, it was two prospects for, you know, basically a year of Jose Iglesias. And obviously the headliner is Garrett Stallings, who, you know, was the Angels' fifth round pick in 2019 and has not pitched in the minor leagues yet because he was shut down and didn't pitch in 19. And then of course the minor league season was canceled. And then the other guy, you know, they get a 20-year-old, well, he was 19 at the time of the trade, Venezuelan pitcher who had thrown 12 innings in the Dominican Summer League. So was it kind of the same for Angels fans where it was like, you know, we don't really know that much about these guys either just because neither of them really have pitched at all in the Angels org?
Yeah, I'll be honest. Pinto, I did not know who he was, and I'm someone who follows the team pretty quite well. So I actually had to research who he was, but Stallings, it is what he is. I think he projects maybe as a back end rotation piece, but like you mentioned, he still hasn't pitched in the minors and I'm not sure the upside is really there. So if they weren't guys, I was going to lose sleep over, but for an Orioles team that's clearly building for the future, it doesn't hurt to take chances on these types of guys.
Yeah, and it almost seemed like Mike Elias, the Orioles GM, was even higher on Stallings than the Angels front office was, because there was, you know, reports after the trade that he had been wanting to draft Stallings last year, and the Angels got him basically before the Orioles thought it was a good time to take him. And, you know, it sounded like he was maybe trying to get him in the Dylan Bundy trade last year and didn't get him, and now finally scooped him up. So obviously the Orioles get somebody they like. But on the trade, you know, for the Angels, you know, there's a lot of scenarios where Iglesias kind of falls back into his league average play and he's pretty solid and you know, they get a year out of him and that's it. But on the two extremes, what would make this turn into a great trade for the Angels? And is there any scenario where this, you know, gets looked back at as a really bad trade for Anaheim?
So I'd be shocked if we're looking back at this trade as being really bad for the Angels. I think on the flip side, if this was to be a really good trade, somehow whatever he showed this past season was actually real. There was an article from Mike Petriello about his batting average, and basically Iglesias had this ability to place baseballs wherever, you know, the other defenders weren't. So if that's like a skill, if he's able to actually keep that moving forward, then it's going to be a great trade for the Angels. Again, I think there's some sort of middle ground where he's going to be fine for the Angels. I think he's going to give them like a 2-win season. It's going to be fine. The two prospects they sent aren't going to amount to much of anything. And it's just going to be a straightforward trade, I think, for both sides.
Yeah, I think the only worst case scenario is Garrett Stallings is the Orioles ace here in a couple of years. And although the O's are high on him, I don't see him turning into an ace. They're just hoping they can get him to the big leagues at some point. But, you know, it's an interesting trade. And you know, I don't think Orioles fans really saw it coming because it came so close after the Orioles picked up his option. It was almost like, all right, they're bringing him back. And there he goes off to Anaheim. But Brent, before I let you go, I just wanted to kind of ask you an Angels question as a whole. You know, I think fans of other teams, especially fans on the East Coast who don't get to watch the Angels as much, this includes me, are mystified by
the Angels, because you see a team that, and we know Pujols is not, you know, Pujols of old, but with Trout and Ohtani and adding Rendon, who was a top 10 player in baseball over the past 2 years. And, you know, we know the pitching isn't great, but they've got our old friend Dylan Bundy. This is such a hard question to answer, and I'm sure you answer it on a lot of your podcasts, but why has Mike Trout only been to the playoffs once? And do you see that changing this year or in the near future?
So I'll try to give you the short answer, because I could spend a whole podcast trying to attack this question. There are a lot of layers to this. I think a lot of it had to do with, like, even before Trout was making his mark in the major leagues, the Angels were making very bad decisions on an annual basis, whether it was giving out big contracts, building up the farm system, making cost-cutting moves, all that kind of stuff. And I think it just kind of escalated to a point where they did not have much of anything at, you know, 2015, 2016. And there has been some bad luck involved. I will say that they actually had some pitching at one point and had a barrage of injuries that really just screwed the whole team over. But it's hard to look at the entire record and say, how the heck have the Angels not gotten this guy to the playoffs more? As far as getting them to the playoffs this year, I'm not confident as of right now. Yes, they've made moves for five different MLB players, but none of them are really going to move the needle all that much. So obviously there's a potential for a bigger move that's coming for, you know, a frontline starting pitcher. But as of right now, I'm not seeing much of a difference with this Angels team compared to the last 5 years. So I'd say nope on the playoffs right now.
Well, I will say it feels like a team that most of baseball kind of roots for to get to the postseason, because I think most baseball fans, they want to see a team that has Trout, Rendon, Ohtani, Pujols all in the lineup playing in the postseason. And so hopefully this is the year. Maybe if the playoffs are expanded again, they might get another shot this year. But Brent, thank you so much for joining us, kind of talking about, you know, the other side of this Jose Iglesias trade and how he'll fit in with another new team. But thanks again for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Connor.
So our thanks again to Brent McGuire, the host of Locked On Angels here on the Locked On Podcast Network, for joining us to talk about Jose Iglesias and how he might fit in with the Angels next year and potentially beyond. You know, he's obviously going to be a free agent after 2021, as we talk about, but will the Angels re-sign him? You know, Brent said that Anaheim really doesn't have any kind of shortstop prospects ready to go over the next couple of years. So, you know, Jose could be just a place filler for this year, and then maybe they go out and try to spend again. Or, you know, if he plays anywhere close to what he did with the Orioles in 2020, you know, he could be re-signed in Anaheim, because they will have the money to do so. But, you know, it was just interesting to talk about, you know, what the best case scenario for each team is in the trade. And obviously for the Angels, it's Iglesias becoming as good as he was and then re-signing him. And really, you know, for the Orioles, you never know what Gene Pinto will be. I mean, 19 years old, you haven't seen much of him. But, you know, if Garrett Stallings turns out to be, you know, the really good major league starting pitcher that the Orioles and Mike Elias think he can be, that definitely becomes a loss for Anaheim, because, you know, we talked about it at the end there, the reason the team with Ohtani, Trout, you know, now Rendon, Pujols, all these guys, hasn't gotten to the playoffs but one time with, you know, a sweep against the Royals, is that they haven't had, obviously, the bullpen as well, but they haven't had the starting pitching to get them through that point. And it would hurt if a guy they took in the fifth round in Stallings and they traded before he ever threw an inning in their minor league system ended up being a good major league pitcher. And that's what the Orioles are obviously hoping for out of Garrett Stallings and Gene Pinto, obviously, as well, though he is a little further away. And speaking of this trade, you know, we broke it down, you know, when it happened back a couple months ago. And we also did a full breakdown episode of Garrett Stallings as well. We had John Wilkerson on, who is the voice of Tennessee baseball. Of course, Stallings played his college career for the Volunteers, and he joined us to talk about Stallings, his college career, and kind of what kind of pitcher he can be at the minor and major league level for the Orioles. So if you go back into the archives, you can find that one where we kind of give you the breakdown of Stallings and what to expect from him as he will get it going in an Oriole uniform in the minors in 2021. That was episode 191 back on December 10th, if you want to go listen back to that one. But of course, we will continue to bring you all of the Orioles news and some Major League Baseball news as well here on the podcast. But, you know, if you're looking for just your sports news to come to you in quick podcast form every single day, you can get more of the sports news you need in less time with our new Locked On Today podcast. Peter Bukowski hosts Locked On Today, a daily podcast breaking down the biggest stories with analysis from our local experts. Start your day with all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes. Subscribe to Locked On Today wherever you get your podcasts. So go check that one out. That's going to debut here pretty soon on the Locked On Podcast Network. Make sure to subscribe to Locked On Today and subscribe here to Locked On Orioles, whether it's on Apple or Spotify or wherever you listen. Give us a rating and a review if you can as well. It really helps out the pod. So that's it for us this week. We will be back with you on Monday, continuing to look at Orioles news, Major League Baseball news, and maybe do a mailbag Monday as well as we continue to roll through this offseason. Getting closer and closer. You know, we don't really know when the season's going to start, but in our minds, if it starts on time, we're getting closer and closer to pitchers and catchers reporting next month. But again, we'll be back with another pod on Monday. But until then, this has been Locked On Orioles Podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.